MMA. It's in the cage.
Turn it up because it's getting heavy. Wild, wild West Coast. These are the girls I love the most.
And welcome to another edition of MMA in the Cage, the pound for pound source, Ryan, for mixed martial arts coverage. In the mixed martial arts, what is the name of the show? I don't even remember. MMA in the Cage? It's MMA in the Cage. As usual, I'm here with my beautiful host, Ryan Jenkins. Ryan, what's going on, man?
Not a whole lot, man. Enjoying my fasting that I've been doing here for this past week.
Tell the audience about your fasting. You've told me off the air I've called you a fag, but you know, I think everyone needs to call you a fag, so let's hear it.
If it's if it makes you a fag to not eat food for in recognition of all the starving children across the world and for Jesus, then I guess I'm a fag then.
Exactly. Ryan is in the middle of a juice fast.
Yeah, no, I had watched a show on a documentary on Netflix. It was called Fat, Sick, and Nearly Dead. I fit one of those. So I figured, you know, what the hell, let's give this a shot. But it's basically just, you know, fruit and vegetable juice and water. And, you know, I just combine it with all different fruits and vegetables. And that's essentially my meal. And it's supposed to work through like a cleansing part of your body. I don't necessarily totally buy into that. You know, as far as getting rid of toxins and stuff like that. I think that's ridiculous. And they say some of the symptoms of, you know, your first few days are like headaches and just feeling nasty. Well, because like there's toxins that are leaving your body, but I think that's bullshit. It's just because
you don't have caffeine
and because you're not eating. And I haven't had any caffeine when I'm used to having like 5 Cokes a day.
Exactly. So, that's a toxin. It's a toxin and it's leaving.
Whatever. So actually, you know, after being on it for several days, I do feel somewhat normal. I definitely have some, you know, some hunger pains, but I'm losing some weight. So I guess it's kind of working, you know, how it's supposed to. So, and the other thing is it's getting good nutrition into my body. So that's never a bad thing.
So how are the poops looking?
Boy, you just went right at it.
I don't mess around. I imagine that it's very, it's not very viscous.
No. Well, it's a lot less. No, it's not viscous at all. So it's actually, it's solid. So
that surprises me because with your juicer, you take out all the fiber. So, I mean, I just figured you'd be peeing out of your butt like a curl.
No, it's not like that at all. So, no, it's still solid. The only one that gave me a little issue was after eating spinach. But if I don't have spinach in it, then everything else, you know, comes out fine. On my green juices, it comes out green. On the other juices, it's usually like jet black. If you want to know. So now that everybody's thoroughly disgusted, those have been my bowel movements here for the past few days.
Oh, you're talking about your bowel. I thought you were talking about the juice.
Oh, the juice. Jesus.
Oh, good. Well, that's even worse.
God, we're not on the same page there.
Of course, we're never on the same page. Ryan, lots have happened this week.
The green juices are very green, and then the other juices are the color that whatever it is that you're juicing.
Jesus. Ryan, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about magic? I'm serious, too. How do you feel about magic?
It doesn't exist.
Yes, but like, did you ever like watching it as a child?
Watching like a good magician?
Yes.
Sure, they can be very entertaining. Absolutely.
Okay, I like watching them as adults. I'm a huge fan of magic, and I was like wondering why am I a big fan of magic? And like I was looking at, I sent you this video this weekend, the 3D printer, Ryan. For those of you who don't know, there is a printer out there, which Ryan claims is not a printer, but there's one out there where it takes a image, you hold a scanner over it, and it takes an image of an object, let's say a wrench. Like it does in the video. It takes an image of an object, a 3D image, and then an hour later, this fucking machine makes one for you in the exact same way. It's got, like, you know, the little part where it moves the wrench back and forth. I mean, it's the most ridiculous thing ever. And the reason I asked this, Ryan, is because this is magic, man. This is better than magic. This is why I love science so much, is the shit that we're coming up with on a day-to-day basis is so much cooler than, you know, making a dove disappear. I mean, we're taking pieces of people's asshole, disease, cancer-ridden assholes, colons to be more exact, putting in a tissue culture dish with stem cells, and then putting it back into another guy, and this guy lives a nice, healthy life now without a colostomy bag. That's amazing. That is magic.
No, well, you say that's magic, just in that it's something that's pretty fantastic. That's clearly not magic. The difference is that it is science in both of those cases, and magic is... that traditionally people think of magic, and it's just illusions. The cool thing, and the reason why that 3D printer or, you know, your other example are so incredible, is that shit is real. And yeah, it was pretty impressive seeing that 3D printer. The fact that it's able to make something with moving parts, I thought was even more impressive. Because it was still it was like a functional crescent wrench that they had. So he was able to pick up the wrench and, you know, he was able to, you know, crank a nut tighter. So that was pretty cool. I don't know how practical of an application that is. But the funniest part of it, I thought, was like he showed like the print cartridge that they've gotten, and they've got the other cartridge that has like the epoxy to bind essentially just like this dust or this powder that they have, what they use to actually create the item with. But it, like, the print cartridge was just like a regular, like, HP print cartridge,
yeah, which
I thought was hilarious. It was like just on a normal printer that you'd have at your house.
Well, see, you know, a couple of years ago when I heard people theorizing about this, they were talking about how eventually, you know, we're going to have printers that are going to be able to print organic material. And like, hey, you want a pen here? You know, just put in your printer, go get a pen. You want a tomato? You want a tomato to eat for tonight? Why don't you just go print it out and you can have a tomato for tonight? That's what I actually heard theorized. And I thought, this is space talk. This is never going to happen. And yet this is the very – not even beginning stages. They're printing legitimate objects already with moving parts. I mean, that's amazing. And I did not even think would exist until the end of our lives.
Yeah, but it's not like it's a complex machine. So it's complete. It's there's a big jump to get something into a complex machine versus this, and also something that would work, you know, say off of like electricity. That's only going to be able to work off of like a physical machine. And the other thing is that the powder, whatever that they use to
resin
form it, the resin that they use to form it, you know, how durable, how strong of a material is that, and is it you know, is it like, is it something that a material that they can use that's sustainable, that is, you know, financially, you know, viable,
right,
to like, reproduce things?
Yeah. But I mean, the first couple of prototypes of anything are not going to be that. I mean, like, take all these electric cars that people continue to pump out. I mean, like, you know, they're still spending a lot of money. They're really expensive, but they're still making them. Eventually they'll get cheap enough to where people will actually start to buy them. But then they'll come out with the tax, like, oh yeah, you know, they actually came out with the tax when people started going more towards electric cars that you actually have to pay because you're not spending as much in gas anymore.
Yes.
It's ridiculous. Everyone's always got to get theirs, and, you know, they always got to stick their hands in your pockets. Anyways, Ryan, that was a 3D printer. I was really happy to see that this week.
Absolutely. And another thing that you were very happy to see, too, was the horribly violent terrorist attack in Norway, too, right?
I was actually not happy to see that. I don't know why we're bringing this up.
You were laughing about that before we get on here.
No.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. I still think it's horrible. For those of you who don't know, there was a man from Norway? A Norwander?
Norwegian,
stupid. Norwegian that he went and bombed a building, killed 7 people, and then
went out in Oslo,
and then went out with a gun and sniped another 86 and killed all 86.
Dude, that's a lot of people. Did you see, like, at least the video with, like, all those bodies that were washed up shore on that lake?
Yes, I did.
God, that's crazy. How do you shoot 86 freaking people? And how do you get away with that without, like, it took the, you know, the SWAT team, like, 90 minutes to actually arrest the guy?
That's ridiculous.
And how did the guy actually get, like, why did he get arrested? Why did they not just put a bullet in his head? You kill that many people, dude, you're done for. There's no risk. We're not going to get close enough to risk one of our own guys just to take you down, take you in alive. But
those fucking Norwegians, man, they don't know how to do war correctly. They don't know confrontation well.
Yeah, but dirty euros.
So, Ryan, it's been a slow week in MMA. We know this.
It has been.
We don't have too much going on. We do have, though, the Strikeforce event that's coming up this weekend that I just bought tickets to 5 minutes ago because I just found out that it's down the street from where I live.
Wait a second. I can actually see the greatest MMA fighter in his forest time, Fedor Emelianenko, live. Right?
Right.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I think it's a good buy. And, yeah, I just had no idea that I was actually down the street, and I went and bought those tickets, and now I'm going next week. Woo! So, woo. So, I'm pretty excited about that. Not too many actual events in the near upcoming future with, I don't know. What do you think?
No,
MMA. MMA.
Well, just this past weekend we had a handful of events, but it was all just, you know, local stuff. There was a fight down in Houston, Legacy Fighting Championships, which was on HDNet that I watched. I found it was actually kind of funny because in one of the fights, the first fight that was on HDNet was a three minute fight. And the next fight was a 5 minute fight. And on HDNet, they had it as, you know, the timer was for 5 minutes. And they got to 3 minutes in that round, and the guy sounded the horn, and it was the end of the round. And we're like, okay, wait a second. So maybe this is a three minute round fight. And so we get into the second round, and it was a 5 minute round. It's like, good God,
Jesus.
So they fought a 3 minute round followed by a 5 minute round.
Five minute marathon round.
Yeah. Apparently the timekeeper forgot to switch over to 5 minutes on the, on that next fight. So Jesus. That was, it was pretty sloppy, but it was hilarious.
Jesus.
Then we had, the Bellator tourney, like their, their mid summer tournament that they're running, their featherweight tournament. Nothing too special there to talk about. The only big thing was, Neil Grove, big guy, fought in the UFC, I think once or twice. He ended up getting in like double heel hooks with his opponent, and they were just like laying on the, like sitting on the ground, you know, opposing from each other,
right.
just like smashing at each other when they're both just kind of sitting up on their hip. So they did. It was like a it was like that Don Fry fight where he's fighting that the big Asian dude.
They're just going at it, back and forth
each other at the head over and over again. It was just one of those like ridiculous moments where I'm just like I slap my forehead and just am shaking. Just like, I can't believe this is where we're at this point in the 11 in MMA. Like, this is still viable.
That's great. That's one of the best fights ever, by the way, if you guys ever.
Yeah, I guess.
Come on. It's one of the most exciting fights. I don't care. Like, you know, every once in a while, you just have to see all technique out the door. Let's just go at it.
It was only entertaining because of the mustache.
Exactly. Okay. All right. And that Asian's face getting like, I mean, they're already squinters, and then, you know, you make their face even more swollen up. No chance.
Yeah. It just looks like a couple of folds of skin.
Right. So anyways, guys, we have a couple of things coming up. We got head to head up next. We have a couple of fight announcements, and then, what else do we have, Ryan? Is that it?
That's going to be about it.
Short show this week, so you guys stick with us, and we'll be right back.
Whether you yearn to eliminate unsightly debris from those hard-to-reach spaces between your teeth, or you crave a splash of bacon zest to spice up a boring oral hygiene routine, these bacon-flavored toothpicks are for you. Arm yourself with invigorating pig freshness and the confidence that you can take on the world. The next time you pick out, you'll be glad you have these flavorful, slender sticks of wood by your side. Bacon-flavored toothpicks. Put them in your mouth.
This is not a real product. We do not intend to buy this at home. MMA and the Cage and its associates are currently looking for sponsorship, and we'd be more than happy to put your awesome product in this space. If you have any questions, please contact us at MMAandthecage@gmail.com.
You're listening to Esteban McCarthy and Ryan Jenkins on MMA and the Cage.
And welcome back to MMA in the Cage with Esteban McCarthy and myself, Ryan Jenkins. Esteban, I know you're torn up of the heartbreaking news. You thought the Norway horrible executions was hilarious, but you are torn up over Amy Winehouse dying?
I heard about that yesterday, and I had to ask my wife who Amy Winehouse was. I've heard the name before, because Winehouse is a popular name, but I don't know any of her music.
I am the same thing. Like, I've seen her on Google News, and I've just seen like little blips of her being in rehab, but I had no idea who she was, and apparently she's a musician, I guess, or a pop singer or something.
I thought I saw her once on like an episode of Dr. Drew. I'm pretty sure I did. And all I know is she's gained weight, but now she doesn't have to worry about that. So,
No. Well, you know, I'm just sending my condolences to you because I know you're pretty messed up over that.
Right. Exactly. Yes.
But now I'd like to toot my own horn in that, I guess, or our horn in that we know that we've got a celebrity listener to MMA in the Cage. Not only it is the one and only Joe Silva,
right.
the matchmaker extraordinaire. Because what did we have announced this week, Esteban?
Right.
We had Chris the Crippler Leben and my boy now.
Man, such a fucking change.
The Philly, Mark Munoz. We've got them fighting, which is awesome. It's the fight I picked here, 2 weeks ago, right after Leben knocked out Wanderlei Silva. I thought it was a great fight. You think it's a piece of shit.
I do. I still think it's a piece of shit. I think Leben's going to easily take this because Munoz, you know, he's going to try to – you're going to go – obviously, he's going to try to swing for the fences. And as soon as Leben just takes his, you know, first three shots, he's just going to get one on him. I mean, Munoz has got a glass chin. He's going to go down. So I think this is going to be a pretty easy fight for Leben. I think it's going to end before the second round. I think it'll end.
You really don't think that Munoz is going to try and push Leben against the fence and try and take him down?
And you don't think that Leben has got pretty damn good takedown defense? And I mean, he's in a good cage work. I mean, he's a good fighter. I think even if he does push him against the cage, as I said, Munoz doesn't want to have anything to do with him, dude. He's going to try to stay away from him the entire time because he knows that he's going to get knocked out.
Yes, I mean, you definitely have to – you favor the hands and the chin of Leben. There's no doubt. But Munoz still, he hits hard, and his striking is decent enough, I think, is to get him by. But I think he's so much better as far as his takedowns, and I think he'll be able to work Leben down, frustrate him from the top, and probably grind out a decision win.
You want to recant that statement, Ryan? When was the last time you saw Mark Munoz get a takedown?
That's because he's trying to work his stand-up.
Okay.
And is it really going to behoove him to take down, you know, Damian Maia? And
what about, you know, Aaron Simpson before that? What about – who else did he fight before that?
He doesn't need to take down Aaron Simpson. Aaron Simpson's trash.
Well, but he couldn't take him down even though he tried for multiple
I know,
times.
But he's also working against a very difficult wrestler. And, yes, he was able to take him down a couple of times.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he did.
No, he hasn't taken anyone down in a long time. Hold on, I'm looking this up right now because it's driving me crazy because I want to go through every fight where he hasn't taken a fighter down with you right now.
So you've turned on Munoz then.
CB Dolloway, okay, didn't take CB Dolloway down.
Didn't he knock him out in like the first 30 seconds?
Yes.
Well, shit, he doesn't need to take him down then. And he's fighting against Russ.
He didn't shoot for it.
He
didn't take down Aaron Simpson. All three rounds.
Okay, well, he's also a top wrestler.
Yushin Okami. Okay.
Another top wrestler.
Didn't take him down. Kendall Grove.
Yeah, he did whatever he wanted to with Kendall Grove.
Yeah, I think he took Kendall Grove down. Okay, congratulations. Kendall Grove is also not fighting the UFC anymore.
Good God.
Ryan Jensen.
This is ridiculous. You have no water.
I have to. Hey man, the 2010 was a good year for him. He had four fights. That's pretty legit.
Damn right. Munoz is the shit.
It's not that I don't like Martin Munoz.
You're hating on Munoz.
I used to be the one that would cheer for him when you were always making fun of him. The only problem that I have with him is that, like, everyone talks about this high top level wrestling pedigree that he comes in with, but he has shitty takedowns though. I mean, it did not transfer over well into the UFC. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
When he first came on the scene, when he was like taking all these, you know, nobody, no names down, Austin Akron, who the fuck is that? I don't know who the fuck that is. But when he first came on the scene, yes, he was very good. He had very good ground and pound, and it looked great. But ever since then, he has not been, you know, the most amazing takedown guy that everyone claims he is.
Okay.
Wow. You're just going to quit like that? Don't get into the conversation if you don't want to end it.
All I'm saying is you're talking about him not being effective taking down other top-level wrestlers. Sure, anybody's going to struggle. What happens when two wrestlers go at each other? They end up negating each other's wrestling. So you're talking about him not taking other wrestlers down, but when he faces other guys that are not primarily wrestlers, he's able to take them down effectively.
Does he take Lubin down more than two times in the fight?
Yes, he does. He takes him down effectively and wins it. Like I said, he's going to end up working top control primarily throughout the fight, and he's going to end up winning unanimous decision.
I think if it goes a couple of rounds in, I think he probably will win just because Lieben will probably gas. But I see it ending in the first round, to be honest.
That's the other option. I'm not saying, you know, Lieben's a solid fighter. The thing is with Lieben too, though, is he's inconsistent. That's the difficult thing about picking Lieben is you just don't know exactly who's going to be, you know, show up that fight.
I don't know if you could call him inconsistent, though. I mean, like, who is he lost to that was a humongous surprise?
You know, I was really surprised that he lost to Stan.
I did too, I think we don't give Stan enough credit sometimes.
Yes.
And I know I don't just because, like, he just seems too perfect. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like he's a child molester when, like, no one's looking. I mean, he's just too much of an American hero. You know what I mean? He's got the crew cut. He looks good. I love America. I was in the Marines, and he's knocking out people. It's just too perfect of a storyline for me. But, yeah, I did not see that happening, but I don't think we give him enough credit, though, because he is a legit fighter as well.
No, there's no doubt about it.
Who did he lose to before that, though, that was really surprising?
Can't remember offhand.
He lost to Michael Bisping. Okay, Michael Bisping did what to him? Oh, he just pointed him to death? Okay, well, that's a big surprise.
That's what he does.
Okay, okay. He lost to Anderson Silva.
He got raped by Anderson Silva.
Yes, but Anderson Silva also has the most pinpoint accurate striking in the entire, like, history of.
I know who he lost to that was surprising me was Rochalt.
Rochalt, that's right.
Who I do not like at all.
No,
that's probably where my inconsistency comes from. It's not with Brian Stan was surprising, but Brian Stan, I think at that point I'd still underrated him. Brian Stan is a solid fighter. We were right about that. Jake Rochalt though is not, and that was probably maybe a couple year and a half ago, 2 years ago. Yeah, so I mean that's a good while, and Levin's gone through all sorts of shit. He's all fucked up in the head, so
okay. I guess that, all right, that, fair that, enough.
That's
fair enough.
That's part of where that comes from too.
So anyways though, that fight got announced. What other fights did we get announced? We had Brian Bowles fighting against Mr. Uriah Faber. It's a pretty good fight.
I think it's a good fight. I think it's bad for the division though. Just because I see Faber definitely winning that fight. I think he's got a little bit better power. I think his striking is a little bit better and his takedowns are a little bit better. So I think just all around Faber's the better fighter. And the thing is, if he ends up winning that fight, Brian Bowles was, you know, the other option, I guess, as far as who's going to be fighting for the belt. And so if he ends up losing, then it's like now we're stuck with Faber again and there's nobody else. You know what I'm saying?
I do agree with you. I think either one of them should have gone against like Miguel Torres. I think one of them should have fought Miguel Torres. I would have liked to see Brian Bowles fight him again. I definitely see what you're coming out with that because if you had one of them go against Miguel Torres, then you could have had them fight Faber or Bowles after that. And then you can at least justify a little bit more that they are deserving of a title shot. So I can see that. I can definitely see
the nice thing at featherweight right now, though, is you're able to – a guy would be able to go in and with a couple of big wins, he'd be able to go in and fight for a title. And that's something that, you know, really in the UFC – you can only say about, say, like the
heavyweight,
you're right, or maybe middleweight from a few years ago. So that was the only way that you'd be able to just get a couple of big wins and go in and fight for a title.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, and speaking of the middleweight division, just real quick, Ryan, our boy, our favorite guy of the show from now on, from this point on, Mr. Nate the Great Marquardt, got picked up by Bama Fighting, and he will be fighting under that organization for the time being.
Which means he was a horrible, filthy liar when he talked to you in Chicago. I found that most disappointing. That he said, you know what? My focus is totally to get back in the UFC. That's all I'm looking at doing. And then he turns around and signs with fucking Bama.
Yeah, Bama is, especially Bama, dude. That's, I mean, you could do King of the Cage, you could do Titan, but Bama,
like,
you mean like MFC, you know?
And it's a multiple fight contract too.
Oh,
so
really?
I think it was like a 3 or 4 fight contract. Damn. So that's the
Bellator. Like, you could do so much more, but Bama. Ugh.
Yeah. I wouldn't have done a multiple fight contract. So, but you know, the thing is, it's a multiple fight contract, but I'm sure it can be bought out by the UFC, and it's not like they're going to be giving him a ton of money anyway. So I'm sure he wants to keep active and keep fighting. Quite clearly, he ran into, some issues as far as trying to get back into the UFC after, after his medicals got passed through in, Pennsylvania?
Right. Or, Pittsburgh,
Pennsylvania
State.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So did it say what weight class he's going to be fighting at?
He didn't. There, I don't think there was a ton of information as far as that goes.
It's probably middle. There's no doubt it's middle.
The thing is, it doesn't really matter. I would say to him is he'll end up just walking through whoever he fights at middleweight or welterweight. The issue with that is then he's going to be fighting in an obscure, fight organization, and if he ends up losing, that's really going to look bad, especially if he ends up fighting a guy that's just like a tough up and comer.
Yeah,
ends up fighting a
good wrestler,
a stifling. Well, that's also in England where he's going to be fighting, so that's doubtful.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. Honestly, you probably planned it out like that. That actually may be a good reason why.
He went overseas.
Yeah, actually,
just go out there, work, stand up, and be able to show that he's show how well rounded he is, and just dominate a couple of guys and go back into the UFC.
I hope so, man.
Maybe a safe play. Yeah, you really
maybe what it is when the Strikeforce and UFC finally merge, and like they're just gonna be taking in like all the people that they originally said fuck off. Like they're gonna take in Paul Daly, Josh Barnett. It's gonna be they're gonna take back. Nate Marquardt, all these people that were banished so long ago, they're just going to be like, all right, you guys get one more chance.
Yeah, Dana's bans really don't mean anything. So, he says it, and it's kind of frustrating when he goes out and says, oh, he's never going to fight in this organization again, because he probably will. If he gets on a good winning streak, then you want to have the top guys fighting in your league. It doesn't really matter how atrocious they are.
The only person I don't want to see back, I definitely don't want to see back, Paul Daly. That guy, I mean, even a great fighter, very fun and exciting to watch, but you can't take a swing at someone after the fight is over. I mean, like walk over to his corner, then hit him in the face. It's a little much.
I would find that funny too. I'd love to see Paul Daly back, just so like in the in the intro to the pay-per-view, like that's one of the highlights.
Is his after
Josh Koscheck while the gladiator's putting on his armor.
Right after the fucking bell. I mean, that's a good way to promote the fight, to be honest. I mean, like, I would watch that as like a main event. Like, yeah. Josh Koscheck going against him again. I would hope that Josh Koscheck would just ride him for three rounds again, just like, haha, I can do it again if I want. I own you.
I definitely wouldn't want to see that fight again, but I think it would be pretty interesting, at least the shit talk between the two.
Right.
Before the fight, for sure.
All right. Also, what else we have, Ryan?
The big one, I think, was the title fight. Of Mr. Dominic Cruz, and another fight that we picked. I think we saw it both as fairly obvious, but against Demetrius Johnson.
That is a very interesting fight, Ryan. What's also interesting about it is that it's taking place on the Versus Network on the UFC Versus number 6.
A championship fight on Versus for free on television? How does that happen?
Honestly, Ryan, what we were just, I mean, we just said, first of all, Dana White, anything that he comes out of his mouth for the most part usually doesn't mean jack shit. You know, he just came out after their title his title defense, you know, when they were talking about Faber and Cruz saying, you know, these guys, doesn't matter their size, they're the best in the world. They deserve to be fighting up here. A lot of people doubted me. And then they go and throw him on the UFC card or on the versus card. I mean, you came up with a good theory earlier, which I would love to hear again for the fans.
I figure it's got to be totally about the TV negotiations that they're still in with, you know, Spike TV and whomever else. We saw that on the Facebook prelims, I think it was the last pay-per-view event, but after the Facebook prelims that they've done in the past, they put a little, you know, a little screen up there throwing people to Spike TV to watch, you know, the other two prelims that were on Spike TV, and that the pay-per-view was going to start at whatever the certain time was.
Right.
Well, this last one, they didn't throw anybody to Spike TV.
They just said,
hey, you know what, the pay-per-view's starting at this time, and they just completely ignored that the other two fights were happening on Spike TV. So I think this is another, just another thing that they're throwing in Spike TV's face by giving Versus a freaking title fight for free on TV. Like, that's just unheard of. I don't think it's ever happened before, especially after, like you said before, Dana White coming out and saying that these guys deserve the respect. I know they're little guys, but they fight their hearts out and they put a good show on, Dominic Cruz and Uriah Faber did. And then they turn around and put, you know, Cruz's next title fight, free on television. I don't get it. I think it's very odd that they did that.
Ryan, if you had to interchange a title fight with the Versus Spike TV one or the Versus one, which title fight would you put there? What's the most appropriate title fight to put there?
On Versus.
I think you have to go with GSP. I think you have to. The guy is the worst, most boring fighter in the UFC.
What I would want to see
I think you have to put it on Versus. It's just the most boring. You know what's the advantage of it? Is that, you know, when you're in a bar watching it for pay-per-view, you know, you got to watch it live. See, with this, though, I could just, you know, record it at home on my DVR and just fast forward through most of GSP's humping throughout the five rounds and just get the end.
You know, the thing that I don't get is probably what would make more sense for the UFC is to actually put the 145 belt on there, because then you'd have we've got Florian and Aldo that are going to be fighting. And so you've got Kenny Florian, who's been in the UFC forever, is a very recognizable name, does all the MMA live on ESPN, and he was in Tough. And then you've got Aldo, who's also a very exciting fighter, but he's not the biggest name yet.
But if you were watching Versus, though, you recognize him possibly because he used to fight in the WEC, which was only on Versus.
You're right. So you've also got the WEC coming over with Aldo as well. That would make more sense. And the big thing is the pay-per-view money. Like, they wouldn't put GSP on Versus because he wouldn't agree to it, because he's not going to get any percentage of the pay-per-views because it's not a pay-per-view event. And so they'd have to totally refigure that. Whereas Aldo's probably not got a pay-per-view deal. I know Dominic Cruz doesn't have a pay-per-view deal.
I was just joking. Obviously, wouldn't put GSP there. I just don't like watching him fight.
Right. Yes. If you were to pick, yes, sure. One title fight would probably be the GSP fight.
Thank you. Thank you very much for actually taking my question seriously.
Yes. Now,
you fun sponge. That's what you are. You're being a fun sponge. You're just taking it seriously, getting fucking angry. It's such a ridiculous premise.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Quit being an asshole and actually tell me what you think about the fight between these two guys, which I find very intriguing.
I'm gonna have to watch it in slow-mo. I actually am happy that it is on I could DVR so I can watch this in slow motion, but like, it's gonna be a very, very, very quick pace fight. The only thing that scares me about I would go with Cruz normally. The only thing that scares me about Johnson, not the fact that he's quicker than him, but we saw in the Miguel Torres fight where he is too small to be submitted. He's too small. Like, you can't, like, there's not enough of a neck to grab. There's not enough of an arm to grab. He's just like a dense ball of Mighty Mouse, and it's hard to control him. And so I don't, I mean, I don't, I don't know, man. I mean, I still see Cruz winning that one, just because, like, you know, I really think the reason that Cruz kind of gassed in that last fight was he was getting hit more than he's ever gotten hit before, and he's coming off of surgery too. So that's the main reason I think Cruz was gassing that last fight. But I don't think he'll gas against Johnson, even though he will be up against a faster paced guy, just because he's not going to be. I mean, even if he goes for takedowns, I don't see him getting a takedown against Dominic Cruz, and you know, I don't see him hurting him as much, just because, you know, he's a much smaller guy. So
yeah, I think you're pretty well spot on. I pretty much agree with everything you say there. You're right. Cruz, the reason why his conditioning didn't look as good is because he got hit a lot more than what he typically gets hit, and that's going to slow anybody down. And that was just, you know, Uriah Faber being the way that he is. As far as the takedowns go, you're right. Johnson would be able to take down guys, but Cruz is a tricky guy to take down and actually keep down, and Johnson's just not big enough, he's not strong enough to be able to do that, and it's going to end up creating a very interesting striking match, because I think Johnson is the only guy that would, you know, have the speed advantage over Cruz. So yeah, I think that's a great fight. I'm excited to see it on Versus or wherever we can see it at.
The only, you know, I mean, honestly, I would like to see I think it would be interesting just to see Johnson win, because then that really mixes up the division a lot. I mean, then you get like a lot of good fights that, like, you know, because then you can see Faber go against Johnson, or Bowles goes against Johnson, or Cruz go against maybe Miguel Torres. You know, I mean, I think it mixes up the division a really good amount. So it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, no doubt. Oh, and just a real quick mention here that we didn't talk about with the Leben Munoz announcement. That is actually going to be the first non-title main card five round fight.
Oh Jesus. Okay, I have to recant everything I just said, and let me think about this.
Leben in a five round fight. I don't know. I think Munoz gasses in the fourth round as well. I think Leben, you know what, honestly, I think Leben gets the bigger
now that you
okay, see,
now
that, okay, okay. This is what I think.
Now that you say that, I was thinking in my head, this is a three-round fight, and I just remembered this is a five-round fight, and I think you're right. I think Munoz is not going to be able to last, because he's never fought that long before. I know Leben hasn't either, but the thing is, Leben's a hell of a lot more dangerous when he's tired, worn exactly. out than what Munoz is, and so catching him late in the fourth or fifth round,
that can easily happen.
That dude's
bound to happen. Man.
Yeah,
I think Leben will win the first two. I think the round that Munoz has to win the fight is in the third round. I mean, just like he would normally, like, it has to be in the third round, because if the fourth or the fifth round come, you're right, he's going to be tired, and he's not going to, and he's just going to be swinging for the fences at that point. I mean, we've seen, okay, what his percentage of takedowns aside, he's not that good when he's tired. And so, yeah, Leben, I mean, I think you just hit it spot on. Like, Leben is a much better fighter. I think a better fighter when he's exhausted, when he just all caution to the wind, not just some of it, but all of it to the wind, and just goes in there and just starts the wailing. I mean, best type of fighter that way. So, all right, Ryan. Well, we do have the Strikeforce event coming up. What is it, this next week? And I think the fans, they need to hear our predictions for the fight.
Oh, no doubt.
Absolutely. No doubt. You know who really needs to hear is Joe Silver. I mean, this is basically a shout out to Joe Silver right now. So get your pens out, get your little legal pad out, and let's do this. You want to do this? Let's do this. Sound effects, please. All right, Ryan, we got Tarek Safadine versus Scott Smith at Strikeforce, and M1 Global, Fedor versus Henderson. What are your thoughts?
I really like watching Scott Smith, just because he gets knocked the fuck out, or he comes back with the craziest last second knockouts. But at this point, Smith's chin is not really that great anymore. Safadine is the better, well-rounded fighter. I think he's going to end up finishing Scott Smith in the second round via TKO. Esteban?
I think I'm going to go, Scott Smith is going to get out of this fight by dying somewhere in it. I think he's going to die in the first round just because of traumatic brain injury. And it just finally hits him in the second round. I think he's going to be wobbling. They're not sure. He's actually having a seizure throughout the first and the second, and he's going to actually die in the second. So I'm probably going to have to go Tarek Safadine. Even though he's an up-and-comer, I'm going to have to go Tarek Safadine, possibly by TKO. Yeah, second round TKO.
The most macabre pick I've ever heard in my life. That's horrible. next fight, we've got the dirty Brit, Paul Daly, versus the big wrestling guy, Tyron Woodley. Who do you got, Esteban?
You know, Tyron Woodley, you just said it right there. He is a big wrestling guy, but honestly though, Paul Daly has got a lot of experience and he doesn't do horrible against wrestler. I mean, Tyron Woodley has to be a top level wrestler in order for Paul Daly to lose to him. So just because of the experience right now, I'm going to have to go Paul Daly TKO second round.
Paul Daly hits harder. His striking's great. His ground game is garbage. Tyron Woodley is not going to be dumb enough, I think, to try and stand with Daly at all. I think all he's going to do is push for the takedowns, push him up against the cage, and he's going to end up grinding out a 3-round unanimous decision for Tyron Woodley.
That's a big pick, Ryan. Then next we have Tim Kennedy versus Robbie Lawler. So what are your thoughts on this one?
This is my payday pick of the week. I think this is a pretty easy fight to pick. You've got a guy that's extremely well-rounded in Tim Kennedy versus just a heavy striker who really doesn't have the greatest chin in the world in Robbie Lawler.
A ruthless striker as well.
He is ruthless, no doubt. And Robbie Lawler's got the one-punch knockout, but Tim Kennedy's got a solid chin. He's got good takedowns. He's got good submissions. He's got excellent submission defense. He's just a lot better, well-rounded fighter. I think he's going to actually end up finishing the fight via TKO in the second round. Esteban, who you got in this?
You hit it on the head again, Ryan. You know, Tim Kennedy is the more well-rounded fighter. I don't think, though, that he's going to finish by TKO. I'm going to have to say, though, Tim Kennedy by third-round submission.
Okay. Next, we've got our co-main event, a fight with women, the 135-pound champ Marlis Conan versus Misha the Takedown Tate. Esteban, this is a riveting matchup. I don't know where you're going to go with this, but let me know.
You know, honestly, though, the women's MMA, it's getting better as the years go on. So I really can't rag on them too much. But, you know, Marlis Conan is dangerous off of her back, and so is Misha Tate. But, like, you know, Marlis Conan has just shown in her last fight that going against a solid wrestler is not a problem for her. She can still get the submission. So I'm going to have to go Marlis Conan second round submission.
Wow. Okay.
Like that? You like that?
Being that Gina Carano or Cyborg Santos is not fighting, I don't really give two shits about this fight. I'm going to go with Marlis Conan because she trains at Golden Glory. Isn't that right?
That's right. So, that's right. I'm going to go with whatever Esteban says.
I'm going with Conan via TKO third round.
Wow. All right, and then we have Ryan, could this possibly be the biggest fight ever? This is Fedor, the Last Emperor, Emelianenko, versus Dan Hendo Henderson for a heavyweight non-title fight. What are your thoughts?
Huge fight. Very interesting. I think a lot comes into play with this, but as I've mentioned for the past several months since the fight has been announced or even rumored it, I've picked Dan Henderson to put Fedor asleep for the first time in Fedor's career. So that's what we're going to see. I think it probably happens late in the first round or middle of the first round. Knockout, Dan Henderson.
Brian, you are but beyond crazy. We've never, ever, ever, ever seen Fedor Emelianenko. I've seen this man get slammed on his neck by Kevin Randall. I roided 306 pounds Kevin Randleman, and he still was able to keep consciousness and get an armbar right after that. You are ridiculous. Fedor Emelianenko is not getting knocked out. Although I think Dan Henderson will be a much smaller, lighter guy against him. It's gonna go all three rounds. Dan Henderson, unanimous decision.
Boy, Esteban, what the fuck were you thinking? That fight,
are you kidding me? Look, Dan Henderson is going to be a smaller, much quicker guy. He's going to be fighting at the most appropriate weight, which is what he trains at. So does Fedor Emelianenko. He basically trains at 225. So I mean, you know, Fedor's not going to push him up against the cage. What is Fedor's game? he's going to try, and he's going to try to strike with him. I mean, he's not going to try to wrestle him. He's not going to try to take him down. So, I mean, he's going to try and strike with Dan Henderson, which honestly, I think he's probably a better striker. The only difference is Dan Henderson has one more tool, which is pushing him up against the cage and wrestling with him.
Okay. And Fedor's good. Fedor's very good in the clinch, and he's got very good. Fedor, his best path to victory has got to be to actually push the pace on Dan Henderson.
I'm sorry. I wrote down Emperor by UD. Fuck what I just said. Emperor by UD. I everything that I said, but then you changed Dan Henderson. No, it's Fedor by fight by UD. I'm sorry. That's. God damn, this is so unprofessional. I should be what I got too excited. Okay. I just wanted to go. I don't know. I have to go against you, Ryan. This is Fedor Emelianenko's fight.
Okay. I think the big thing with Fedor at this point is we've talked about him being a cyborg. Is the guy really human? He has no like emotions. The dude has a heart, and I don't think it's into fighting anymore. I don't know that it's been for a little while now, even since Pride's gone away. I don't think he's been totally into the fights. The thing with Dan Henderson is he's got a ridiculous chin, and he has got just an unbelievable right hand that can put anybody to sleep. Fedor has got a very good chin, but the big difference is he recovers extremely well. But if he's put to sleep and he's followed up like Dan Henderson follows up his big strikes with, I don't think he's going to have an opportunity to recover. Fedor, if he's able to work Dan Henderson down and push him against the cage, take him down and work top control, then yes, I could see him end up winning a unanimous decision. If Fedor gets out of, you know, probably if he gets through probably 2 minutes of the second round, he's probably going to end up winning the fight because Dan Henderson gasses real bad. Yeah. Dan Henderson goes looking out to finish the fight in the first half of the fight. But if Dan Henderson on his back doesn't do anything, all he's going to do is just take damage and get gassed.
Ryan, I don't like you. What on earth are you talking about with any you? What, where does knockout even come into play anywhere in this fight? Neither one of these guys in like the entirety of Pride organization, Strikeforce, UFC, everything. When have they ever been knocked out? Which fighter has been knocked out?
That's what I'm saying. None of they haven't been knocked out. And all I'm saying is Fedor has lost his heart. And I don't think he's been hit this late in his career by a guy that hits as hard as Dan Henderson.
He just had I'm calling him a man because that's what the medical team called Bigfoot Silva.
He's not really a man. He's more than a man.
He's a Yeti, okay? We just had a Yeti, the 300-pound Yeti. Just go
Brazilian
to town.
Sasquatch.
Exactly. Go to town on Fedor's face, and yet he still was alive, okay? You're ridiculous if you think any one of these guys, if anything, Henderson is going to get knocked out just because he does gas so early on.
He doesn't get knocked out, though. He's got the best chin in MMA.
But he's also 40.
That's fine. Somehow he's able to maintain that chin, which is incredible. You figured it would go at some point.
I'm trying to think, though, like, who's actually hit him, though, in the last couple of years hard enough to where it's like, whoa. I mean, he fought his last fight in the UFC was Bisping. Bisping doesn't hit hard whatsoever.
Jacare hit him hard.
Jacare did hit him hard.
He hit him really, really hard. I mean, he's got hit by by Krokop. He's got hit by Vanderlei Silva really hard. He's got hit by who else am I thinking? He's got hit by Rampage Jackson real hard.
Yeah,
he's
but taking... I mean, okay, but like let's think about Rampage Jackson though. That was 4 years ago. Okay, 36 is not too bad. I mean,
okay, well, like, Jacare was last year, so there's and he got hit really hard against a guy that hits
what,
very.
Jacare? Oh, he never fought Jacare. Yeah. Jacare is on a different. Jacare is different weight class.
Who am I thinking of then?
Sobral.
No.
Calavante. Feijão.
Yeah, Feijão. That's who I always.
That ended in the first round. I don't know, man. I don't think Feijão hit him that hard. That's funny. The Sure Dog has this wrong. They have him going against Jay-Z in that fight. It's actually Feijão, you fucking idiot.
Yes.
Anyways, yes. Fucking morons. Anyways, but like, yeah, I would say, let's see, who's Amir Paulares? I mean, honestly, since the Silva fight in 2008, he's fought Paul Harris, not a striker. Franklin, old, you know, counterpoint striker. Bisping, big pussy. Jake Shields, wrestler. Ronaldo Sobral, more of a submission guy. And then Feijão, which you claim hit him hard, but I mean, come on, really? I don't know, man. Like, it's hard to say if he still has a chin. I mean, he has not gone against these amazing strikers in the longest time. So, and now you're going against a heavyweight striker. I'm going with my pick, man. I'm sticking with UD Emperor.
Okay.
It's gotta be. But honestly, Ryan, I will let you know because I will be taking a picture of it on my camera phone while I'm there. Up in the back. Up in the nosebleeds.
Yeah, you'll see that live. Of the other fights that were on that card, the Safadine Scott Smith fight, nothing too exciting there, I don't think. I just think we'll see a brutal knockout. And the Paul Daly, you picked Paul Daly, right, over Tyron Woodley?
I did. I mean, I really, you know me, I refuse to, like, just, I have a moral dilemma against watching any Strike Force Challenger card, and, you know, that's mainly what Tyron Woodley has fought on so far, so I really can't give too much of it. I know he's a wrestler. I've seen him fight, like, one card before. I know he's a wrestler. His striking's not that good. I mean, you know, I'm hoping that Paul Daly can honestly just kind of just, you know, just be smart about it. And which, you know, I don't even know what the fuck I'm saying there. He's never been smart about a single fight. I should probably just change everything about my fucking picks this week. Anyways, next fight. I think Tim Kennedy, Robbie Lawler, that's going to be an excellent fight. That's probably going to be fight of the night as well.
Yeah, I think, yeah, Kennedy's probably going to stand and trade with him for a while, which is going to make it pretty exciting. So
yeah. And then Marlos Conan, Misha Tate, you know, I am a little bit mad that I can't get there for the weigh-ins for that one. But, you know, you never know. They need that emergency towel holder.
Yes.
And then that Hendo fight against Emelianenko. I just want to be in the building with them. You know, I just want to have some of their magic rub off on me.
Dude, so, if you could somehow manage to meet, shake his hand, take a picture with him, with Fedor, that would be pretty incredible.
Ryan, he is the last emperor.
So. Yes. Find your way. Go to whatever Russian bar where they're having an after party and see where the M1 after party is at.
That's right. Where is the M1 after party? I'll task that. So, Ryan, that's all we got for this week. That is it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll have our recap of the Strikeforce M1 Global Fedor versus Henderson. And then we're going to have a preview of UFC 130. Is it 4?
33 or 34? I think it's 34.
Whatever.
Is this going to be in Brazil? Is this the one?
No. This is I forget where this is at. But it's Ortiz and Phil Davis.
That's
or
right.
Or Ortiz and Rashad Evans. I'm sorry.
That's right. So, all right, man. I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. Till next week. This has been good. This has been MMA in the Cage. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on MMAinTheCage@gmail.com. You guys got any questions, concerns? You got some relationship advice, Ryan? We haven't dealt any out yet. I have advice I want to give.
Okay. Yeah, being newly married, I'm sure you've got great advice of getting married. That sounds brilliant.
Exactly. We have the heathen, you know, on your side. I think we can give a good middle ground for somebody. You know, we have the loose party animal on your side. We have the more straight edge, you know, America's man on my side. So we'll get it done. We'll get it done.
Good God. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye. If you guys have any questions about MMA, relationship advice, life, or just some bullshit you want to ask me and Ryan, hit us up on Facebook and Twitter, or send us an email at MMAinTheCage@gmail.com.